A small army of truancy officers will be sent to the Australian schools with the worst attendance to get more Indigenous kids into classrooms. About 40 remote communities will be targeted, with one truancy officer for every 20 students. But they won't have any powers other than their own powers of persuasion. The Federal Indigenous Affairs Minister, Nigel Scullion, says the officers will be there to help.
So there might be not a good reason, but a resolvable reason, like, no, well, we missed the bus, we don't have any transport, look, he's really embarrassed, doesn't want to go to school because he doesn't have the uniform because the cat ate it or whatever, the normal stuff of life. So we need to assist with the school uniform, or he doesn't have a bag, or he's being bullied, or whatever the story is. And there's so many barriers in this case. But there have been barriers that nobody seems to bother to assist the family and the parents in knocking down.
That's Nigel Scullion. Now, to discuss this, we're joined by Peter Buckskin, Dean of the David Yunupin College of Indigenous Education and Research. Peter, welcome to RN Summer Breakfast.
Oh, I'm very pleased to be a part of this show.
Will this work?
Look, I think we should try as many things as we can possibly. We've got to realise we're dealing with Australia's most disadvantaged communities, and there's a whole range of complex issues. Look, having an army of people coming into people's homes to just get kids to school, I think is just part of a very complex solution. But it's got to be done in context with ensuring that the staff are ready to receive these children that are clearly having many challenges in terms of not wanting to go to school. And once they get to school, will they learn? Because I think there's a whole range of support is required for the teachers to assist these children in their learning once they get to school. If they haven't been going to school on a regular basis for many years,
there's going to be an adjustment that needs to be made. So under this plan, truancy officers turn up at people's homes every day. What kind of training will they have? I mean, in some cases, we're talking about families with very complex problems.
Absolutely. This has got to be done in a very sensitive way. welfare reform in Australia when it comes to dealing with people facing huge complex problems hasn't got a great track record with Aboriginal communities. And these communities have been borne the brunt of many of that really bad process in terms of that interaction. And so I hope that if this needs to be done by the first week of term one in 2014, well, there's lots of work to be done with not just getting this army having police checks in terms of dealing with children, but in terms of their training. And if they're coming out of the community, in terms of community employees, those that are unemployed, that are getting on a community benefit type employment program to do this with, well, I think they'll be in the need of some very specific training, which I can't see being done appropriately in the time available to the government. However, teachers also need to be ready to receive these learners that will be very challenged in terms of their attitudes to learning and attitudes to school.
Now, you were a member of the First Peoples Indigenous Advisory Group, which has just lost its government funding. Were you surprised by that?
I was absolutely shocked, considering that the Australian government, through COAG, is committed to a National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Education Action Plan. It's a plan that's in its final year for the current quadrennium, and it's about to be evaluated and renegotiated for a further 4 years post-2014. And the First Peoples Committee provides some very specific advice on school attendance, wanting to work with any government in the sense we understood we were a ministerial committee, and therefore we served the minister's agenda of the day. And one of the things of all governments is school attendance has been a very high priority. But we're also very concerned to have a balance around what happens outside the school gate in terms of people's homes, and then what happens inside the school gate with the curriculum, the professional development of the support staff required to receive these most challenged young people, and for teachers to have a curriculum that the kids can actually see themselves in. You know, they need to see themselves in a curriculum that supports their identity, that teaches them through a whole range of innovative ways, literacy and numeracy competencies that are required to negotiate a broader curriculum.
So, Peter, if not from your group, where will the government get advice from on Indigenous education?
Well, I think The letters that we've received, a letter that we received from Minister Scullion, talked about the Warren Mundine Advisory Council being in place, and he also talked a bit about cost effectiveness. Now, I thought the committee was very cost effective in terms of being the experts that the members were in terms of classroom principals.
So a cost saving exercise, teachers. In other words.
Well, I thought so in the end, and it was a very small amount of money that you were providing to a committee that met 3 to 4 times a year, that provided quite detailed advice to the government, you know, from people that actually at the coalface, the principal of Fitzroy Crossing, area school that went from reception, you know, to year 12, from people from a small government school in New South Wales. And so we have people at the coalface combined with those that are writing in higher education around the best pedagogies, the way to engage Aboriginal children in the learning process and the type of curriculum that needs to be expose them to in Australian schools.
Peter Buckskin, great to talk to you today.
Thanks very much.
Peter Buckskin, Dean of the David Unaipin College of Indigenous Education and Research.